Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Most weight loss plans are one size fits all, not taking into account each person's individual needs. Noom is here to change that. Noom Weight uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain, but it also takes into account your unique biological factors, which also affect weight loss success. The program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. One of the great things about Noom is that it's nourishing instead of restrictive. They focus on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything for that matter. Have cravings? Food FOMO? Noom can help you lose weight while still enjoying your favorite foods. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Street Alpha Podcast. I am your host, Tooks, and we are out here in Florida once again. I might as well move out here with how many times I've been to Florida. But today we are in JDM Dre's shop, owner
of JDM Dre.
Yes. So Dre has been importing cars for the past 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And right now we have a lot of Supers in the shop.
Yeah.
We also have a Skyline and an NSX.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you also import other cars as well too, right?
We do, yeah. So we actually have an S15 right now also. And we've got some other cars coming in that are not Supras. So.
Right. But a lot of people usually ask how you can import cars into the country. And I know these cars are going up in value right now.
Correct.
So I'm sure you have a lot of money in here with these cars.
There is,
right. So we'll talk about the difference between right-hand drive, left-hand drive with some of these cars too, because these cars are also available in America.
Correct.
The Skyline wasn't actually, but the Supras mostly, and the NSX as well. So are you actually a car guy, or you just got into this for the business side of things?
So I'm definitely started off life as a car guy. So I grew up about 30 minutes away from here, and my first car was a 240. Because of Fast and Furious. It came out and that sparked the interest. I was 14 at the time and I won an Eclipse and I didn't get in. So I got the next car, $2,500. We found a 240 and I sold that a couple years later and I realized I could make a couple dollars, you know?
Right.
I bought another 240 and swapped that one. And it was right before Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift was coming out.
What year was that? I always forget what year
that
was.
So this is like 2006 right now.
So so it was like a, but they came out with the second one. And
Right. So the first one came out when I, again, I was like 14. That kind of sparked the interest of like cars, you know, and specifically JDM cars. And after that first 240 and the second 240, I knew I was into the cars, but also was into the business side of things.
Right.
You know, my parents were business owners a long time ago. So that's kind of in me from a young kid.
Right.
And I love cars. I love JDM cars. And once I had that second 240, I did an SR swap. I sold the first one to buy an older 240. I did an SR swap, and it's like 2005. And Tokyo Drift's come out in 2006. And I knew that once that movie came out, they're going to be looking for a drift car, right?
Right.
That's the buzz. We're now learning about drifting, and I'm driving a 240 with an SR swap that's lowered, that has rims and everything like that. I had painted it. I spent all my money. I'm like, you know, 17, 18 years old at the time. And I knew people were going to want that car. So 1 week after that movie, I saw the movie right here locally. And 1 week later, I listed it for sale. It was gone in a day. Like literally one day, the car was gone.
What?
And I knew, I was like, all right, I can do something with this car game, even at 18 years old.
Yeah.
And right after that, I actually visited some family in Canada. My cousins live there. And I flew there just for a vacation. And as soon as I land, I'm seeing like R34s on the road. This is like 2007. I'm seeing Skylines and stuff in 2007.
What?
And I'm like, how are these cars legal? You know, and in the States, I knew we don't see them. So I'm like, how are they legal on the road in Canada? So I did some research and I found a company selling them in Toronto. like selling Skylines in 2007, R32 GTRs.
So 2007, yeah, right? Now, was this company only doing it for Canada, or they were doing
it for
the
States? They're only for Canada. It was like literally a dealership locally.
Oh, it's a dealership.
Yeah, it's like a dealership. Right. So they were selling motors, engines, and it's like a JDM type of place, right?
Right.
So I just Googled or Yahoo, whatever it was at the time, and I called them. I was like, hey, I'm from the States. I want to come look at some of your cars.
Yeah.
So I talked to my older cousin. He had an NSX like this over here. And I was 19, and I wanted to pull up like professionally, you know? So I was like, hey, man, let me borrow your NSX to go like pull up presentable, you know?
Yeah.
So I got there, and the guy was loving the car, and I was like, hey, I was the one that called you. I'm from the U.S. I want to import these cars. He's like, yeah, sure, come in. Dude, he opened the gate, and there's like 15 R32 GTRs just sitting there in like gravel. Like, it's like, they're not washed or anything.
They're just dusty.
They're just dusty cars, just all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, I'm freaking out, right? Because I know I just sold my S13.
Yeah.
It's a couple years later. I know these cars are hot.
Right.
So I'm with my young cousin at the time. I'm like, dude, look at all these cars. You know, I'm freaking out about it. So I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, man, how much is the GTR, the R32 GTR? 6,000 Canadian. That's $4,500 US. Yeah. Like, so I'm 19 years old. I'm like, this car is $4,500. He's like, yeah, but whichever one you want, we can work a deal if you want a couple of them.
Yeah.
I'm so naive. I didn't know that these cars aren't legal in the United States. I don't know any of that stuff.
I'm just like,
here's an opportunity. Here's cars I love. I need to get them back to the States.
Right.
And this is, again, I'm 19.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back home. I tell my parents, I was like, look, there's a lot of cool cars here. They don't know anything about cars and stuff like that. But I was like, we need to find a way to get these cars back to the States.
Yeah.
Like, they're worth the money. I know they are. I just don't know how to get them back. So, dude, I literally call NHTSA, right? The DOT, Department of Transportation.
Right.
I said, how can I bring these cars in the country? And they're super helpful. They sent me a bunch of links on how to import a car, what it takes to bring a car over from Canada, the customs process and all that stuff. And pretty much I kept on doing more and more research and realized that they're illegal, right? They're blacklisted because of some California companies that did some wrongdoing early 2000s, early 90s, late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
A company called MotorX. And
that's the company.
Yeah, it's called MotorX.
Okay, okay.
So I had to read about all this stuff and why they're blacklisted, why they're not eligible. There's some rules on certain models and stuff like that. And I was like, man, there's no way. Like, I'm literally on the phone with DOT, NHTSA, right? And they're like, no, there's no way. Like, you have to wait. And I was like, wait for what? They're like, well, the cars have to be 25 years old. And I was like, well, what does that even mean? So, and again, I'm 19 years old. It's 2008, right? 7, 8, somewhere around there. And they're telling me, like, you got to wait after 25 years old. You're eligible to come to the United States. And I'm like, all right, so 2008, I'm doing the math.
Yeah.
1990 puts me at 2015. It's 2008. I got to wait 7 more years to legally bring the car in the country,
right.
You know? So I waited. I patiently waited and waited and waited until 2015. So to answer your question, I know it was a long-winded way of getting, how did I get into, you know, importing, or was I a car guy? I've always been a car guy.
Yeah.
And I waited until 2015 to really, the car was legal to really be able to import it.
Right.
And I went right back to Canada. That's where my family was. I knew the process already because I read about it 10 years ago or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Canada and bought a 300ZX.
300ZX, that was the first one.
First car. 1990 300ZX. So in 2015, it was 25 years old.
Right.
So it was like $3,500.
There,
yeah.
Okay.
So
now that company, MotorX, you said, right?
MotorX, yeah.
MotorX. Now, there were some that were technically legal, right?
Correct. Yeah, I don't know much. I don't remember much, but they were trusted into bringing in these cars legally into the country.
For a certain amount of time.
For a certain amount of time, yeah. And then not quite sure what happened or how it didn't go right with a certain models, and the government seized a lot of their cars. So there were some cars that made it, and some cars got seized.
So people had paid for those cars, and they still got seized? Or they just try to bring them into the country and then...
That I don't know of.
Okay.
That I don't know. That's a good topic. But that, honestly, I don't know the specifics of how that happened. I just remember reading, like, MotorX cars were seized.
Right.
For whatever reason, for whatever wrongdoing. I know some cars were done right.
Yeah.
And those people probably still have their cars. But at that time, the articles were fresh. And they were like, MotorX cars got banned. And that's why a lot of these Skylines and cars were blacklisted also. So...
That's true. I remember back then on the forums, because I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what year it was, but I remember looking at some other cars. It wasn't a Skyline. I forgot what other car was right-hand drive that I was looking at. And I was looking into the forums, and they were saying that company was the only one that was able to get certain cars in.
Yeah.
Might have been the GTR.
Yeah.
But I for some reason I had so much hope that I was hoping that like maybe there is another way.
Correct.
And there were people who did have other cars that were here, right, and drive. So I never knew, but yeah. I just figured like, oh, those cars are legal.
Right.
You know?
And I had the same thought. I never knew how they were here. And I know because I spoke directly with DOT.
DOT, right?
Yeah, I spoke directly. They told me like, hey, these cars are eligible. Some are not eligible. And the ones, there's a couple of models, like some Midnight Purple R34 mm-hmm. GTRs are legal with certain exemptions, right?
Right.
There's a process for that. And so there are certain cars that are able to come into the States even after the 25-year rule. Or sorry, before the 25, you're able to get them in here for show and display. And this is all legal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can actually get it done that way. I thought that was a long process. Those cars were out of my budget for a 20-year-old at the time, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't even like look at that. And I'm looking at this $3,500 GTR R32, and I'm like, I think I can save up some money to get this car over.
Right.
So I was kind of looking in that realm of cars, and I wasn't able to at that time, so I waited until that 300ZX came over, and I bought cars that I wanted. The first time I sat in a 300ZX, the first was when I imported it.
So what were you doing for that 5 years, though, when you waited?
So I had like some other cars. I had a M3 E36. I was actually buying. So I've always been buying and selling cars that I wanted. I had a 944 Turbo Porsche. I loved 1987.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I loved that car. I had a bunch of E46s. I'm a Beamer guy also. I do like some Beamers. So okay. E46s I've had, E36s. I've had some SL500 Mercedes from 1998. So I've had a bunch of different cars.
Yeah.
But I would buy cars that are classic that I can do a little something to it and then sell it.
Right.
So
right.
I was kind of doing that in between. And then me and my fiance were selling Miatas. We've probably sold 25, 30 Miatas, only NB Miatas. We were hunt them down, clean them up, and sell them.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So that's what we were doing for a long time. I was like a Miata guy, believe it or not. So she would do a lot of work to the cars. She's small, so she would get in there and replace the convertible top for me and buff the cars. We'd clean them up together and we'd sell it all from our apartments.
You know, what?
Yeah.
What were they going for?
We would pick them up for like, which is crazy, $1,000.
Okay.
$1,200. And I had a day job. I would just get off work and I would say, hey, I found one in Tampa, like 4 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
We would drive 10 o'clock at night, go to Tampa, buy the car, riding dirty, drive it all the way back, right? Wash it, clean it, fix the top, do some maintenance, and I would sell it for like $3,000 to $4,000.
Okay, that's a little hustle though.
Yeah. That's why we did so many. And at one time, I probably had like 8 Miatas just sitting in my boy's backyard. I had no warehouse and stuff like that. We just had them all over the place, wherever I can store them, my brother's house and my friend's yard and wherever we had to. So I was flipping Miatas before I got into this. So
you've always had that like hustle mentality when it comes to cars, or keeping it more of as an investment rather
Correct.
Than just buying a car because you like it and not really having any type of like, I guess, equity, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a good way to put it. Like I enjoy the cars, but I enjoy doing something that makes me money also.
Right.
So I'm like around the cars, and if I can make some money doing what I like to do, then why not, right? So I've always been that person in anything. If I enjoy doing it, well, how can I make a living doing this also?
Right. So after you got the 300ZX, right?
Yep.
How long did you have that car before you ended up flipping that one?
I mean, we brought it in right away. I'm going to say probably 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah.
That's how long it...
Yeah.
Is that just because you felt like it was an opportunity to get rid of it, or you just wanted to move on to something else?
Every car I get, I want to keep it. So I'm like, you know, I probably should keep it. It's super cool. It's a T-top with no back seat. It was kind of rare. I didn't know how rare it was at the time, but it's a 2+0 is what they call it. Two front seats, no back seats, twin turbo, all red. And the Targa, it's like a Targa top, a detachable T-top, you know?
It's like a...
Yeah. Super, so, but right. the both halves detach, right? So you got like a T in the middle.
And that's right. The Genesis,
Exactly. Leather seats. I mean, it's an awesome car. I bought it for like $3,500. I think we're all in like $5,000 or $6,000 when it was here. And I posted it up for like $12,000 and it sold in like 2 days.
2 days?
Yeah.
So what were you posting it at that time?
That was at Craigslist.
Craigslist.
That was on Craigslist 2015. So it's still kind of relevant. I don't think Marketplace was that relevant.
Nah,
not that much.
Craigslist.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So it was Craigslist. So I was like, that's when I was living with my brother at the time. And I'm like, dude, I told you this would work, you know?
Yeah.
And that's in 1990, so it's right about the first ones to start coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So literally every year after, I have to wait for the next cool car to come out. So, because if you think about it, R32s came out in 89,
mm-hmm.
right? GTRs. And then 90 was 300ZX, then nothing yet. And then 92 was RX-7. So I had to wait.
Oh, yeah, it's another car. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So yeah. Then I waited 2 more years, so 2017, mm-hmm. so that at this point it's kind of like a waiting game. We're counting the years, 1990, 1991, 92. Like, we're literally counting and waiting. So you're kind of planning ahead. So I was like, in 1992, the next cool car to come out with, that I like, is an FDR X7.
Mm.
Right, so now again, 2017 equals 1992. This is how I like I tell
you
my
have
mind.
The calculations
yeah
down.
So I'm like, all right, I'll wait another 2 years, you know. Meantime, I'm flipping other car, random cars, minivans and stuff. It doesn't even matter, whatever I can buy and sell and make money, that's yeah. what I did. And the Miatas, of course. And then so 2017 came around, I went back to Canada because that's all I knew, is how to go to Canada, get the cars,
right,
do the process, the customs and all that stuff, and get the car legally registered here. Mm-hmm. And I went and I bought an RX-7 in Saskatoon. You don't even know where that is. Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, Canada. Way out on top of Montana. Like, that far out. Like, go to Montana and go up. Like, another what? Few hours. Middle of nowhere. Like, nothing. I found an RX-7. $4,000. Like, just searching.
And these cars but at that time were... Well, this isn't too long ago. But yeah. Was it mint?
It wasn't mint, but it was fully running, rebuilt motor. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a good car. Like, yeah. I would say it's probably a 7 out of 10. Like, it's not a showroom, but it's a good car.
That's great for today, 7 out of 10 with those cars.
Yeah, exactly. And even like the price point of that, like these cars sell for $30,000 now.
Yeah.
It was $4,000 not even that long ago, 2017, right? Yeah. So just to show the progression of JDM cars and the pricing, mm-hmm. It's not even a few years. And look at how much they climbed from 10 times, 10x in, right. in 8 years, you know, so to speak. Yeah, 7 years.
So are you still using Canada as an import strategy, or what's the
so what happened was Canada as the car market caught on,
okay,
so to speak, right? Like, the cars were lowered, but then they realized that these cars can come to the United States. Remember, this is early on in the 25-year rule. This is only 2 years in.
Right.
And I jumped the gun on it because I knew like this was going to happen from 8 years ago from the story I told you. So I was kind of like ahead. So a lot of people didn't know that these cars can come to the US. So I was buying them before they can come. So, like, I went back to Canada. Well, going back to the RX-7, I kept it as a 30. At this point, I'm 30. I'm like, you know what? I'm 30 years old. I want to keep a cool car. I've never had something really cool for a long time. Yeah. I'm going to keep the RX-7. Actually blew the motor up, rebuilt it. And I was going to put a 2J
what
in
else
it.
Is new, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Rotary life, man. So, when I blew the motor, I was like, I'm going to put a 2J in this thing. And I was like, that's a lot of work. And let me not do that. So, I got rid of it. I sold it. And I went and bought a Supra.
Okay.
Right after that.
And that's where?
Back to Canada. I bought a Supra. Yeah. That's what I knew. And that's where this whole thing got sparked with the Supras. So I went through that whole lineup from 2003 and all these cars and hustling, and I stumbled on a Supra. Same thing. The first time I bought an RX-7 was the first time I sat in it ever in my life. Never sat in one. When I bought a Supra, only in 2018, was the first time I ever sat in a Supra in my life. Like, literally when I'm there buying it from the guy, I was like, oh, can I, you know, we're test driving it and stuff. And that's the first time I sat in it. So all the cars I had, it's the first time I sat in them for the first
time. Wow.
So I think that's a cool experience. And I'm glad I had that experience, because when I sell the cars to a customer, it's that same feeling I had when I first sat in it, you know? Yeah. So I can really relate, and I really feel excited for them, like, when they get into the cars, because I know that feeling of when you first sat in a car and when you first bought it, because it's the same experience I had.
Yeah.
The first time I bought it, most of the times when people buy these cars, it's the first time they've even sat in it, period.
Well, we don't have these cars here, so.
Exactly.
You know, that makes sense.
Exactly.
So with the Supras,
mm-hmm.
were they popular right-hand drive in the States?
So.
Because, like, I don't think I've ever seen a, at that time, a right-hand drive Supra at all.
Yeah. So there were a few of them here in the States. There's some drag cars, and some people had them. They got them in, you know, without using a 25-year rule.
Only because we have it here. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. So we had left hands everywhere.
Right.
And it became more prominent when the 25-year rule happened. There were some here in the country before the 25-year rule.
Okay.
But after the 25-year rule, people like myself started buying them and importing them, you know? There was a couple of guys, some OG guys that were bringing them, mainly Supras, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of sparked it, even for me, you know? I see people bringing them in, there's other shops, and then I bought my first one. And then once I bought mine, it's kind of when people are asking me, hey, where did you get that from?
Yeah, right.
Because we don't see the right-hand drives, like you said, right? Can you get me one? One of my close friends was like, hey, man, I want one too. So that's where I was like, all right, I can make some money. Back to that whole, I can make some money and bring in cars that I like.
Yeah.
You know?
So same process, the same way you got your car in, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, how are you dealing with the money when it comes to like importing a car? Do you get the car first and then you sell it?
So this is what they don't teach you, man. There's no school for this.
Okay.
It's like buying it's no different when you buy a car in the States. If you're buying a car from a guy on Craigslist or Marketplace, right? You go there, you don't know who you're buying from, right?
Right.
Unless it's a friend. But for the most part, you see some guy in Marketplace, you meet up in a undisclosed location, right?
Yeah.
You're feeling him out, you don't know, you're bringing your friend with you because you don't know who that person is. You're not comfortable yet.
Right.
And you look at the car and then you exchange money and then you drive home with your car.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different when you import from overseas because, and this is the risk that a lot of people message me and say, hey man, I want to buy a car from overseas, what do I do? It took me a lot of years to go through these risks that I took of buying a car, sometimes, many times, sight unseen. So you find a car overseas.
Okay.
It could be a private seller or it could be, I bought from a lot of private sellers overseas. And I'll use that as an example. You find someone on Marketplace in, let's just use Canada, right?
Okay.
You exchange information. They send you pictures of the cars, videos. You maybe do a call or a video call or something like that. A lot of times you can fly there, obviously, which I've done. And then you see the car and you do your exchange like you do in the States.
Right.
The flip side of that, sometimes I don't go. You don't go to Japan, right, to buy the cars a little further.
Yeah.
So you literally wire your money, whatever it is, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, overseas to a company in Japan or to a guy in Japan, whatever it is. Make sure you do your research. And you kind of, quote unquote, hope that your car gets here. Because what's stopping that guy from running off of your money, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, so you do your due diligence and you see it's a reputable company or it's a reputable guy or he's a reputable broker or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, that thought is still in the back of your mind. Like,
yeah,
this guy can just close up shop and
dip out.
He's gone. Your money's gone, right? So that's a risk involved. That's probably, for me, I think is the number one risk with importing vehicles. Is like at the end of the day, the person at the end of the line, they can run off with your money. So,
right.
But you build relationships over the years and you end up trusting people that you've never really met face to face. And I've built some really, really strong relationships with people across the world. Like we DM pictures of kids and what are you doing for your vacation or your holiday? This is where I went. Like that's the kind of relationships I have with my people overseas now.
So now when did you get the idea to, because obviously you had people that wanted to get Supras, right? Because they saw your right-hand drive Supra, right?
Yeah.
So when did you get the idea to kind of like make this a business or more to like a dealership?
So I was still importing from my apartment. Me and my fiance, we lived in an apartment in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale. And after I brought my second one in, I was just, again, we didn't have money to start this thing off. We kind of just made our money from our Miatas and stuff like that. And we bought one car at a time and sold it and bought another one and sold it and bought another one, sold until you get enough money. And then I started looking more overseas for these cars. And then I had some money saved. And I was like, you know what? I'll buy a couple of them this time.
Okay.
Two. And at the time, again, these Supras were like $10,000 a piece. This is not that long ago, 4 or 5 years ago, right?
$10,000 a piece.
Yeah. So like you didn't need a lot of money. Still a lot of money. It took me a lot of years to save this money, but it wasn't $100,000. In today's world, it's five times that. It's very difficult right now to bring in a lot of cars. But at the time, you know, you have enough funds to try this thing out. And I was working at a dealership for about 7 years at the time. So I had the dealership knowledge on how to purchase and how financing and stuff like that works. And so when I was buying them, I was like, I think I want to do a dealership eventually. Let me just buy some and flip it and see how it works. And it just took off. I would post them on Instagram. I post them on Marketplace. And more people were like, hey, man, I saw you post a car. Do you have more? And I was like, geez, well, yeah, more coming, you know.
Yeah.
I got to find a way to buy more and buy more and buy more. And that hustle mentality is always there. I'm like, how do I get more, you know?
Right.
And saving more money, flipping more cars, saving more money eventually allowed me to go get a few of them.
Yeah.
And it kind of happened really fast. I was working for, like I said, a car dealership and I got furloughed.
Okay.
At for CarMax for 7 years. I was a sales manager and I got furloughed and I had two Supras with me and I was scared, man. Like, because no one knew what was going to happen. You know what I mean? So I've got two cars, all my money in it, right? And I'm like, it's a pandemic and no one's going to buy these cars. They sold in a day. I'm not kidding. A day. So I was furloughed. I had the cars listed. I was like, let me post them up fairly cheap.
Yeah.
And they were gone. Cash buyers immediately. So I went to my fiance. I'm like, if people are spending cash like now, I think it was like 20 grand or 18 grand cash, right? Like people came during a pandemic where we don't know what's happening. I'm like, I think we're onto something again. That's like that me selling a 240 era. I'm like, I'm selling cars during a pandemic for cash. where I think people should be keeping their cash.
Yeah, yeah.
They're buying sports cars with it. So I was like, I think I'm onto something. And that moment, I was like, yeah, I'm going all in. Whatever money I had, I'm just buying Supras the whole time. So,
what?
Yeah. So I started bringing them in, and we kept on going and going. And we got a warehouse full of them now. And
yeah, this shop is definitely beautiful. It's a nice clean shop.
Yeah.
I kind of figured it'd be like this because with these kind of cars, it's kind of like, you should have a shop like this. Just be clean where a customer could just walk in and kind of make a choice. It's kind of like Gran Turismo vibes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. Like PlayStation.
I love that, man. We played that as kids. Yeah.
So like, you know, you select your car, you walk in here, you pick out what car you want.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you that kind of elegant vibe.
Yeah.
So I guess in a simple breakdown, like, are you able to say how you're able to import cars?
So yeah, I can give you a breakdown of how it works, right?
Okay.
The thing is, with me specifically, right? It's not a secret sauce. You can go online and you can go on the internet and you can go on marketplace groups and people walk you through the steps of how to do this today, right? Back in my day, we didn't. I kind of just fumbled through and found brokers and stuff like that. But as far as a generic way of how to bring a car in, you have to, starting by sourcing, I mean, I have my sources, I'm not going to disclose it.
No, of course.
But let's say, again, you find your car overseas, right?
Okay.
You make your transaction, however you do it. Again, I'll use Japan. You find a car in Japan, you find your R34 GTR in Japan. That's what you want, right? Legit company, legit broker. The money goes to your to the seller. Transaction's done. And the car goes in a boat, obviously. Needs to come into the United States. So at that point, car's on a boat. You need a customs broker. This is stuff you can also do on your own. Mm-hmm. But to make life a little simpler and have them handle that, you need a customs broker to kind of handle this stuff, right? That legalizes the process of bringing a car in the country. It's like you go through customs at an airport, right? This is goods that are coming into the country, whether it's a car or agriculture, whatever it is. Customs need to kind of clear this stuff, make sure there's nothing, no contraband, anything in the cars.
Right.
The car comes in the country, then you gotta now get a title for whatever state that you're in. So there's a couple of inspections that you have to get done. And then you have to do a DMV process to get the car legalized, to get actual state title for it.
And this is within the 25-year rule still?
This is within 25-year rule, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So what about the people who want to get other cars imported? Like, obviously, it's the same process, but like, you would find these cars more available online, like a GTR? But how do you know if you're getting, that's the thing, you said you're going to take risks.
So
do you know if you're getting something good?
So that's the thing. So people will message me, they'll DM me and say, hey man, I found this car.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? And it's sources that I've never used. It's like one of these websites, whatever it is, right? You see a nice picture, it says buy it now for 50 grand or 30 grand. I don't know because I've never used them, right? Some of our cars we use, we buy from the auctions directly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of dealers in Japan, but that's the thing. You kind of got to call. That's like what I did back in the day. Like the guy in Canada, I called him. I went there or FaceTime him. Yeah. I've talked to people in Japan where, show me what you have. References. Have you sold a car to someone in the United States before? Yeah. You know what I mean? Basic stuff that, I don't want to say common sense, but you got to use your mind and common sense to really say like, can I get scammed out of this money? Who am I dealing with on the other end? Show me someone you sold to, right, in the United States. Tell me about the process. If they know the process, because more than likely they'll know the process of how to get the car here also.
Right.
So just tell me, how do you get the car here? And you'll know with your judgment, but at the end of the day, it's still
a risk.
Yeah, it's still a little risk. But in today's world, you can do a lot of research with Instagram, with Facebook, with their websites, with articles, with Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
Have you imported? I've seen these groups where someone says, hey, have you ever used JDM Dre to import a car or whoever it may be?
Right.
So there's a lot of little groups that are already talking about how to bring these cars in here. So it's risky, but you just have to do your homework. That's why when someone sends me a car and says, can you import this for me? I don't do it because it's a liability on my end.
Right.
I haven't dealt with that company before. I know that car is amazingly clean and it's beautiful. I love it, but I don't know who they are. And at this point, like, I've done a lot to keep everything nice and clean and my reputation overseas and locally, that I can't take the risk or the liability of something happening to that car or your money.
Right.
So that's why if I import a car for someone, it has to go through my sources.
Because it's a liability.
Exactly,
like
exactly.
So now there's other companies in the States that do importing, right? Now, the market is probably going to be usually higher on those cars, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to going through, like, I guess through you, like, how are you competing with the other companies that are already out there that are importing cars as well?
So here's the thing with me, I'm more of a Supra specialist, right?
Okay.
And that's where I'm different, because I have other cars now, and this is something we just started. We have Skylines and NSX and stuff like that. But where I'm different is that there is no one place in the United States right now that you can go and pick your Supra, where you have a lineup of 8-9 different Supras, mm-hmm. left-hand drive, right-hand drive, Targa, non-Turbo, turbo, non-turbo, whatever you want in the entire country right now. I think we're the number one Mark IV Supra seller in the country right now. And I'm proud of that because it took a lot of work and a lot of risk to get to this point right now. So that's how I'm different from the other dealers. There are big name guys that are great out there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's guys on the West Coast, there's guys on the East Coast. I mean, a lot of followers, a lot of cars they sell, and yeah. I look up to those guys. But they sell a lot of cars, a lot of different cars.
Right.
You know, stuff that I don't even know. You know, little minivans and cool stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't even know that. But I specialize in the Supras and the Skylines and NSX, Silvias. Now we're playing around with different cars right now because this is what people want. We listen to what people want.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I compete is because I'm a specialty. I specialize in a Mark IV Supras.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So now when it comes to other cars, right? Let's say these cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, like you said, you specialize in Supras. But yeah. why have these cars in the shop? Like why sell these cars?
Is it so, just because? So I have a lot of repeat customers that will buy Supras
okay.
and they want other a different
things.
Car. Yeah,
gotcha,
that's
gotcha.
Happened a lot. And even so, as people, my name is JDM Dre, not Super Dre, right? So I get that a lot. I'm like, hey, you only sell Supras. Well, that's how I built my name and reputation, by restoring and taking care of these cars. So mm-hmm. people are like, hey, man, I like the way you do your Supras. Can you get me an RX-7? Can you get me an NSX? Can you get me an R34? We've sold a few R34s over last year and this year.
Mm-hmm.
So people like the image, the business that we do and how we treat them and the communication. So they want to buy different vehicles
right.
from us. So plus, I get to drive them. I'm a car guy.
Yeah.
I want to drive these cars. I like these cars. So it's a personal thing too. Like I like cars, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why.
So now, what is the market looking like for a Mark IV Supra right-hand drive right now?
Right-hand drive, non-turbos are, I'll use these numbers loosely because it's, I'll talk about the market as a whole. So like, yeah as far as the market, a couple years ago, it was hot.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Any car that's new to the market is hot. And when I say new, it's newly legal into the country.
Okay.
So going back to 1993 was 2018. When they were coming in, they were higher priced because they were new. Right-hand drive was flooding into the market. They're now coming into the market. So the demand was very high for these cars.
Right.
So therefore, the price is a little bit higher. Now it's leveled out. A right-hand drive non-turbo, we sell low 40s.
Low 40s for a non-turbo.
Non-turbo, yeah, which is like this white car behind me here. So that's like a $42,000 car. Non-turbo manual right-hand drive.
And then is that based, does miles play a factor in the price a little bit?
Yeah, it does. Miles and condition of the car.
Okay.
That car has 130,000 kilometers. So in general, most JDM cars are really good on the miles. Generally speaking, right? It'll be like under 100,000 miles. And in my book, I think that's really well for a car that's
that
25
old.
Years old. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So if it's under 100K miles, I'm good with that. That car has 80,000 miles. That's great for me. If that car was a turbo car, which we have a couple, it'll be mid 60s.
So it's a $20,000 increase for a turbo.
Right, because you're paying for a twin turbo motor. Even if you were to just price this stuff out separately, you're paying for a motor that's $8,000 to $10,000. You're paying for a transmission that's definitely 10,000 plus, the V160.
Oh, the V160s. Yeah.
So it comes with a V160.
Those are like $20,000 each alone, right?
Dude, used, they're 10, 12,000.
Oh, wow.
Used, you know, unknown condition, you know?
Oh, like, I'm thinking about the GTR transmission.
The GTR transmission are 20,000.
Yeah, exactly. I get those confused sometimes.
Yeah, and then you're paying for brakes and axles and rear diff. So it's a whole deal that comes with that. So you are paying a little bit more.
Right.
That's right-hand format. If you're talking about left-hand, it's kind of all over the place. Honestly, it's a tough one to price. We sell left-hand twin turbos 65-70K automatic.
Okay. Automatic.
Yep. Which is fair. I see them priced a little bit higher, depends on the condition and miles, but that's where we saw them, 65-70K.
Okay.
If that was left-hand drive twin turbo manual, that would be, we sold 8,500, 150K. Like
that's, but that's like the top spec. Basically.
Exactly. That's your top spec. The top spec is left-hand twin turbo 6-speed car.
Right.
That's the number one demand I get. It's also an expensive trim level. So it's the people that have them, they want to get the top dollar rightfully, right? They know what they have. So it's hard for me to find it and have a profit margin with these cars.
Right.
But when I find them, I do try to buy them, and we do have buyers for them pretty much right away.
So now between the left-hand drive Supra and the right-hand drive Supra.
Yeah.
There's a big price difference, right?
Yep.
Apparently the right-hand drive Supra isn't as, I guess, I don't want to say popular, but people aren't really looking for those.
So this is a kind of a sore topic within the Mark IV community.
Yeah.
So the left-hand Supras obviously are known for North America, right? And United States.
Right.
There were about 11,000 left-hand drive Supras made. 45,000 Supras made total. 11,000 of them are left-hand drive. So that's one out of four, right?
Yeah.
Roughly. So it's kind of a, I'll say it's a rare spec when it compares to the rest of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people with left-hand drive cars will say that JDM cars are not as valuable or they're not looked at in the same light as a left-hand drive car. I don't necessarily agree with that at all. I understand from a number standpoint, it could be a little bit more rare. But I don't think we'll have enough JDM cars to even compete with that. So in my eyes, a JDM car, right-hand drive steering wheel, in the United States, we'll always have less than 11,000. We probably only have like 300-400 of those cars in the country right now.
Yeah.
And compared to your 11,000 or whatever is still left.
Right.
So it's definitely a sore topic. Some people hate on the right-hand drive cars, right-hand drive Supra specifically. I don't think it's the same body. They share the same part. You can go to Toyota and buy same bumper, same hood, same fenders. The only thing that's different is literally the dashboard and the panels for the right-hand drive.
Yeah.
The motor is the same. Transmission's the same. Everything bolts on. The suspension's the same. So to have this beef between left-hand and right-hand when literally it's the steering wheel is just on the other side is ridiculous.
Like,
yeah, it's just ridiculous. So, but I don't make the rules, man. I just sell the cars.
So it's just based on, so it's basically a numbers game for the most part.
Yeah, the left-hand drive people are looking at it from the standpoint of their cars are more rare. So again, one in four cars, right, are left-hand.
Right.
So, I understand. I think right-hand drives are from the motherland. Like that's the way I look at it. It was made for the Japanese market, and now we have it. Like
that's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah. How authentic can you get? Like how more authentic can you get with driving a right-hand drive car? Like especially a Supra, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it. I'm like, I'm a fan of both cars, both platforms. I'm a fan of a Supra, period.
Right.
They share almost everything, like 90% of the car shares, other than a dash and some minor things. Everything else is interchangeable. So I get it, but it's not that big of a deal. It's still a Supra, you know, at the end of the day.
So what is one of the most expensive cars you've sold out of this dealership? JDM wise, it doesn't have to be a Supra, it could be anything.
JDM wise, it's gonna be a Supra. It's probably a Supra.
So probably the twin turbo manual.
Yeah, twin turbo manual, 6-speed car. I think that's their most to date right now. It's probably I think it was 85,000.
85,000?
Yeah, 85,000.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I don't tax that much, you know. I try to make these cars affordable still.
Yeah.
Because there's that car, if it was a different company or something like that, that would be a $100,000 car.
Right.
Right. Or more. But I'm still a car guy. I'm still trying to make these cars attainable for the average person. And I know 90,000 is, or 80,000 is a ton of money, right? Down payment on a house is a lot of money.
Right.
I get it. That's why we have different variations. We have a $40,000 version and we have a 90,000. Mm. I try to keep my cars under 100,000, right? I feel like in my head, at least if I'm buying a car, I want to be under 100,000.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why it wasn't like crazily priced, overpriced. And that's why I don't buy a lot of cars in my inventory. You won't see a $150,000 car. Maybe not yet. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe in the future. But I just try to be conscious of, I want that average person who was watching Fast and Furious to still be able, he's our age now, maybe, you know, anywhere between 30 and 65. And he's like, look, it's time for me to get that car. And that's what I want to do.
You know, what's crazy is that you're pricing them at a point where it's like, it makes me think like, damn, 80,000. Should I even do it, man?
Do it, man.
This episode of the Street Alpha Podcast is brought to you by Race Motive. Bring your car from the streets to the track at Race Motor Racing events in 2024. From Pocono Raceway, Maryland International Raceway, New Jersey Motorsports Park, and new this year, Maple Grove Raceway, Race Motive brings you top-tier roll racing events. Their Olympic-style grading system ensures precise measurements for fair competition. From the high-friction NASCAR surface at Pocono to fully prepped drag strips, every race promises excitement and fairness. So bring yourself and your car and use Street Alpha Pod for 10% off all tickets, whether you spectate or race at racemotive.com. Don't miss your chance to race with the best. So the thing is, you get when you bring that price down for some of these cars, it makes them more attainable, right?
Correct.
For somebody who wants to have one.
Correct.
Now, what if you don't have the cash? What options do you guys offer in order for you to be able to attain one of these cars?
Right. So I'd say maybe 6 or 7 out of 10 cars, 60%, 70% of these cars are financed, right?
How what's the percentage?
60% of the cars are financed.
60%?
Yeah, are financed.
Okay, so what banks are doing this kind of...
So we have a few lenders, right? And because of the relationship we have with them, so everyone knows Lightstream and JJ Best. These are classic car lenders,
okay,
right? And more recently, a lot of credit unions started opening up some more. USAA will do these cars. Navy Federal we've taken before. So a lot of banks... JDM cars are the hottest cars in the market right now. That's why if you go to bring a trailer and you go to Cars and Bids and you go to eBay... Featured are JDM cars. Rather than right hand or left hand, you'll see an Integra USDM on there. You'll see a Supra. You'll see anything. So it's the hottest car. So all the banks want a piece of it.
Right.
That's what happened. That's what happened. So
okay.
So now they want a piece. They want to loan the money, and they know that these cars appreciate. Literally goes up in value.
Right.
These are not cars you're going to buy and drive off the lot and it drops 20-30%.
Exactly.
So that's the key thing with these cars. So we have lenders. One of my best lender, I have a great relationship with them, will finance these cars for 15 years. So I know that sounds wild, but hear me out.
15 years?
That sounds wild. Hear me out. So you can buy, let's say, a $60,000 car, right?
Okay. You have one in here right now? Which one?
Let's say that Skyline right there, right?
Okay.
It's a GTT, right? Okay. It'll probably be like 59, 9, 60,000, right?
Okay.
So let's say that Skyline right there, $60,000 car. You only have to pay 10% down, right?
Okay.
Of that 60,000. So 6,000 down at a 10% interest rate. Sounds high. A new car rate, 7-8%. So for a 25-30-year-old car at a 10% rate is not that bad.
Right.
Right?
You would think it's for used cars, it'd be much higher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for a car this age, it's actually a really good interest rate. So you got a $60,000 car, 10% down, $6,000. You got a 10% interest rate for 15 years. Your payment's probably $580, under $600. You're driving that car. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So, you know, it's simple interest loan. A lot of people are going to say, man, 15 years, that's wild, right? The card note at the end is going to be 3 times the value.
Right.
You don't have to keep it for 15 years. What it does, it allows you to lock in a low payment. If you ever get jammed up or something like that, you know, you only got to come out of pocket $580, right?
Yeah.
But as you get some money coming in, throw it at the loan and get that car done in a couple of years and you're good to go.
Right, you can beat the interest for sure.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. So that's what helps a lot with us with these cars. We have a great, again, the lender is awesome with us and we have a good relationship. You fill it out on our website, you know, all the financing info is there. And then you get a response the next day, like you're approved.
What credit score do you need to have?
You need a 600 credit score minimum.
Minimum.
Yeah. So obviously the better credit score, you got a better rate.
Right.
600 minimum, 3 years of credit history. That's a tough one because we have people that have like awesome credit.
Yeah.
But they're a little bit young or their credit history is young. So you need at least 3 years of financing, of having credit card of something.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it have to be like over a certain amount? Like, because you could have a credit card, like a small credit card, but that doesn't really help much, right?
Yeah.
Like if you have a $2,000 like limit or
exactly,
something, like
exactly.
You have to have something like... You financed maybe?
So I've had that come up before. The guy had, everything was perfect, but he was only allowed to have like 30,000 because the most he's ever financed was a $30,000 car.
Okay.
In that case, they take cosigners. So if you have someone that lives with you, relative, wife, fiance, someone to cosign for you, that'll help that situation.
But you said how much, 10% down?
10%.
But now if your credit isn't the best, would they give you a higher down payment?
They'll finance you less. So that can happen. So instead of 60, they'll say, you know, the most that we're comfortable giving you is 40.
So you got to come up 20.
With... Exactly.
Got you.
So that happens. Or again, you go to a cosigner that has decent credit and we do that all day long. They'll add a cosigner and get approved.
Grandma.
Yeah, exactly. They'll go through your phone and call everybody. I need the Skyline.
Yeah, I need the Skyline.
It's my dream car. I need it. So that happens a lot, man. It happens a lot. So... That's why, again, another reason we're different. It's nothing new. People, JDM dealerships, they're financing people. You know, it's not a new tactic.
Crazy. Yeah, I never even knew that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so damn.
Yeah.
I might have to hit my bank.
Yeah, right.
What are we doing?
Less than $600, man. What's an average car payment right now? Is like $800 for a daily driver that you probably don't even want anyways.
Yeah, my payment was like $675.
See?
But it was a lease. So I kind of took what you said before, you get into payment at first and then you want to get out of it.
Yeah.
I figured that the Supra was going to come out with a manual in three years and it did.
Yeah.
So I took the $500 lease payment. And then when they came out with the manual, I was like, I'm not really crazy about it. So I just financed the car.
Yeah.
So similar situation.
Similar. Yeah, yeah.
But it was a lease.
Yeah.
But if I would have financed it and took the same low payment, I probably would have did the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it worked out. Now, what if you have let's say an actual GTR in here, right?
Right.
That's like 140
on a good day. Yeah. Okay. Depends on the spec. Yeah.
So now can we kind of break that down and see how much that would cost?
I'll double it for let me see how good my math is. So let's just say we just did a $60,000 payment, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say the car's 120, just to keep numbers around, right? 120,000.
That would be you can get that for 120?
I think we'll get there soon. I've seen them. Yeah. Okay. So again, depends on the spec. Everyone wants a Bayside Blue.
Yeah.
With low miles and the works, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. You're looking at 150, 200 or Midnight Purp. It's crazy money. Or Jade is crazy money, mm-hmm. right? But let's say you just want a silver one or something like that, right?
Okay.
Like a basic color, silver or white or something like that. I'm keeping my numbers round. 120,000, you'll put 12,000 down. Same terms, right? Which is 15 a year loan, 10% mm-hmm. interest rate. Your payment would be $1,200.
So $1,200 for a whatever year it would be, probably like a 99 GTR,
R34 GTR.
Do you think that it's worth it to pay $1,200 a month for a GTR?
If that's your dream car, which a lot of people, that's their dream car.
Yeah.
And you're able to do it, right? You're at the financial position in your life to be like, look, man, I worked hard. I got some money saved. Got some money in my 401k or something like mm-hmm. that. And I'm going to take the down payment out and finance the rest. Then do it. You live once, bro. You know what I mean? You live once. So every car guy's wife is like, he keeps saying that, you know, right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the way. If you're able to do it, then do it. That's the way I am right now, right? Don't eat bread and water if you can't get your car or take care of your household or your kids or whatever, right?
Yeah,
don't do that. But if you're able to do it and you're at a place in your life where you're like, all right, I can do a $500-$600 payment extra. I got mm-hmm. some extra money. I got a side hustle going where I can do it. Do it. These cars don't go down in value. Right?
Yeah, they're only going to keep going up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So even if you're paying interest, a lot of people say don't pay interest on a car I see comments like that. Don't buy the car unless you can pay it outright. Not everyone's walking around 50, 60 grand that you can pay that outright.
I see that a lot.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
Don't buy the car if you can't buy it outright. Even if you had the cash, I'd rather you put a down payment, make a payment, and go invest that money in something else. You know what I mean?
True.
Yeah. Right, that pays for the car.
That's true.
Go buy a rental property or something that pays for the car.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So even if you have the cash, if you have it, then great. Good mm-hmm. for you. Like I'm happy to help you regardless. Right. Right? So if you don't have the cash, that's fine. You can finance with just a small amount, $5,000 to $10,000 down. And you can have your dream car at home that won't go down in value.
Mm-hmm.
If anything's going to go up, keep it for a few years. It's going to go up in value.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's sort of similar to how pretty much any other market or even housing market, same thing.
Exactly.
You want to get into a FHA loan or something like that.
Exactly.
Put down the minimum amount and then it's kind of like an investment strategy.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, it makes sense.
If you look at it from that way, from like an investment standpoint, then it definitely makes sense.
So now what happens if you get one of these cars and something breaks on them? How do you guys deal with the the parts, or do you guys do repairs here or?
Yeah, so I found a local. So before I moved, I had a mechanic nearby my shop.
Okay.
And if they break, a lot of these cars will do the maintenance before we sell them.
Okay.
Almost all of them. We have to do some kind of maintenance. So right. I try to drive them locally for a day or so because I'm trying to find problems on these cars. I want to find problems. I want to find a leak. I want to find a noise. I want to find something so I can fix it before it goes to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with a shop locally, Monster Garage. You did it.
Lee.
My boy Lee. You did an interview with him not too long ago, and Lee handles all the cars right now. So he's got my S15 right now, and he has a single turbo left-hand drive automatic car also over there right now. He does the tuning, he does all the work on it, the maintenance and everything. So it's a one-stop shop. So I got super lucky. I moved in a random city. I'm not gonna say random, but I didn't move to a big city. I moved to a little area, Melbourne, and one block away his shop is there. I didn't know it was
how convenient.
There. I know, right?
That means it's meant to be, bro.
I know, exactly. That's what I thought. And you know, we became friends and we got a good relationship. And it worked out perfect for us.
So yeah.
Super
That's
happy
cool.
about that.
Yeah, yeah. Lee, you guys saw him on the, well, I don't even know what episode it would have been, but it was a couple episodes back maybe, or maybe the last one, I'm not sure. But yeah, you guys saw Lee. Lee's a good guy. He works on all these cars. So it's super cool that you're actually pretty close to him.
Yeah,
so
if
anything gets done or anything breaks down, you can actually get it fixed by him.
Exactly.
So what's like next for you when it comes to JDM market? Because you're obviously trying to grow this business, right?
Yeah.
What happens when you have more cars? You have a lot, another place to put the cars?
So the way that we have the cars angled in here, we keep it this way because it looks good, right? I can fit probably 20 cars in here if we line them off, if I had to.
This way.
Yeah, exactly. So the key to a dealership is inventory management, right? That's a key. So you almost don't want to hold too many cars because you got to keep moving. So you got to find that balance of how many cars to hold because of what you're projected or you're selling. So in a way, sometimes I don't want it too full, right?
Yeah.
Because that means I have too much tied
you have
up.
Too much, yeah.
Exactly, right? So it's all about the inventory management of how many cars I have. I'm constantly growing. We started this thing in our garage. You know, now we sell 4 to 5 Supras a month. Like that's what we move right now. So the goal is to sell 10 Supras a month, right?
Yeah.
And other cars also. It's just me and my fiance, we started this thing. So I'm not a big corporation or a big company. It's like some of these other guys with a lot of partners and stuff like that. It's just us too. So we do have, you know, mechanic and upholstery and body people and stuff like that. But as far as the dealings of everyday running around, it's just us too.
Yeah.
So we're slowly growing. We're trying to, you know, go with our pace. Obviously the goal is to be bigger. But I think we're in a good place right now where I'm happy, I'm comfortable, and I don't have any employees, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm comfortable where I'm at right now. But we're always this is a mentality that I have. We're always growing. So
right.
Like we're always looking for the next move. And we've got some stuff in coming soon.
We've got some stuff
coming soon. Yeah.
You want to talk about your old setup here?
Yeah. Why not? So,
because I didn't ask you much about it earlier.
Yeah. So, it's super unique. Everyone always asks me like, what do I drive, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have a Supra because every time I hold a Supra for myself for years, a customer ends up wanting it.
Mm.
So whatever, it's like a right hand drive Targa or had a RSP, which is a cool color.
Yeah.
Someone said, hey man, do you have that? And I was like, I have it, and obviously business minded comes in. I was like, I'll buy another one. So in the meantime, what I have going on here is a 1973 right hand drive Datsun 620. So I don't know if there's many right hand drives. We definitely had this truck in the US, but right hand drive, I don't know how many are in there right now.
Yeah.
It might be one of just a few.
What's unique about this?
What's super well, it has an SR20 motor in it, right?
Yeah.
Let's start off with that. It has a single turbo, right? We did a full chassis restoration on it. It has all custom control arms, has a Ford rear end on it. It has shortened axles. So
what transmission are you running actually?
It's a stock SR20
for now,
yeah. So it's really clean build. I'm hoping to do kind of like a SEMA build on this car.
Yeah.
It's got to go to Monza so he can finish up the wiring and finish everything. But it's kind of like a Ken Block truck,
yeah,
but like a JDM version.
I see the vision. Yeah.
So that's kind of what I have in my head. So it's going to be lowered and fender flares and a lot of noise and bucket seats. And
right.
I think it'll be super cool. Something different. You don't see that often.
No. It's the first. Actually, I'm not going to lie, man.
Yeah.
We see Supras here, but correct, that was the first thing I looked at.
Exactly. So that's how I feel. I see Supras every day, and I just wanted something a little different to where I'm excited about it. It's my own that I'm building. And I think once it's done, it's going to be really, really cool, man. You got to come back and check it out once it's done.
Are you able to get like cars with kits in Japan? Because they have like Rocket Bunny kits.
Yeah.
I remember I went to, I forgot what the name of the place was. Craft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had cars with kits in there. Like Rocket Bunny kits.
Yeah.
So is that like a popular thing, or you're better off getting stock cars?
So it depends on your preference. So a lot of these cars go through Japanese auction, like just like how we bid on Mannheim and Copart, whatever we have over here for auctions.
Yeah,
they have their auctions over there. These cars are normal for them. Remember, these are daily cars that people modified.
Right.
So I personally don't. I like the stock format cars.
Okay.
Right. So like, there's an S15. I brought in a stock S15,
mm-hmm,
but there's a Rocket Bunny S15, and that we were looking at, and I was like, I don't want to get into that. You know,
it's
not my style. I like the cars that are my style. I respect it. It's a cool build, but It's not my style, you know. We like the cars clean and stock looking more, and then the customer can go modify it exactly how they want it. They can add whatever kit they want to add.
Right.
But
right.
kits overseas is a big thing. GTTs will come with a, I think it's called Urus, U-R-A-S kit, which is like a GTT that's converted to a GTR. And they put like URAS, Urus is a kit that makes, they make the kit for that car. So there's a lot, Rocket Bunny, Pandem, Urus, there's a lot of different kits for different cars.
What makes it converted? Just the outside panels or?
The whole car. Well, panels, exterior, you're right.
But then it's still rear wheel drive.
Exactly. So okay. The quarters are done, the fenders are done, the hood's done, the bumper's done. It's a lot of work.
How much is that kit?
I think it was like $4,000 for the kit. It's a fiberglass kit. Yeah.
It's probably less to do that than actually get the panels from an actual GTR.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. A front bumper alone is like $2,000 for a GTR.
For a GTR,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, dude, even the badges, I think, because I was following TJ Hunt's build when he was doing his, and Tommy was like getting badges for him, I think it was. And some of those badges were like expensive to have like authentic.
Yep. Big money, man. Big money. Yeah, it's Nissan knows crazy. What you're paying for, you know? Yeah. Even though it costs them nothing to make, it's a GTR badge, you know?
Right.
It's a real deal badge, so... there's a lot of companies that make kits for all of these cars, for Supras, for NSX I was looking at, for Skylines, for a lot of cars.
So now with the GTTs, I mean, I kind of spoke about this with Lee before.
Yeah.
And he feels like we're going to start seeing a lot more GTTs converted to GTRs.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is with that, like I just said, the panels are expensive.
Yep.
So he did it at a time where it was kind of correct. Easier to do it because the cost of doing it was, correct. And he got a great deal on the panels too.
Correct, correct.
Now, it's kind of like... How are you going to convert a GTT to a GTR in today's market?
Yeah, prices? so the average person that looks at a GTT that's converted and not, it's very hard to tell, right? For the average person,
right? Like
you have to be an enthusiast to really say, well, this quarter panel's not as flared out as it should be, or the front fender is not. So like this car has a kit on it. So to the average consumer, just having this front bumper, a GTT with a front bumper, a shorter hood, and the side skirts kind of looks GTR enough.
I thought it was at first.
See?
Yeah.
Exactly. So it looks enough for the average consumer who can't spend $150 on the car.
Right.
The what needs to be done on this car is the quarter panels and the front fenders needs to be a little bit oversized,
right.
flared
right.
out a little bit.
Right.
So you can buy a fiberglass kit, or you can buy a metal and have it cut and weld and do all that stuff. It's just up to you what you want to do. For what I think is sufficient is this. Like, just buy a GTT and just put a body kit on it if you want that look, and that's it. Don't cut the quarters, any of that stuff. Like,
right.
it's too much work, and it won't... Is it going to add that much value? You know, at that point, you might just go spend more and get the real deal. But to have it with just a body kit with a GTT and Bayside Blue, it's sufficient for the average consumer, you know?
I think it'll become popular only because of the prices.
Yeah.
And I think that people are... I mean, I feel like nobody feels like you should be paying one something unless you're really collecting the car.
Correct.
So these cars, I'm sure they could be fun if they were able to drive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm sure that's...
I'll let you drive this one. I'll let you drive this one. It's super fun.
It's still a Skyline, you know?
It's still a Skyline. It's still an RB25, right? It's still inline six. It's still a RB motor. It's still a real deal. These guys in overseas and even locally will make 500, 600, 700, 800 horsepower with this RB25 still.
Yeah.
The transmissions are super tough. They're known to have a strong RB25, strong transmissions. Mm-hmm. And they drive great. They have rear steering. So they still have, you know, the Hikas rear ends.
Right.
A lot of people delete it.
Oh, these have rear steering.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people will delete it, but it has it on there because they're old technology.
I thought it was only a certain year years they did that.
No, it'll have it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it has a rear steering, it has a Hikas rear end on it.
But that's not really safe, right, when you're doing certain like road course stuff?
I don't know, honestly. I know a lot. I know it's faulty because it's old. It's like it's a steering rack that's in the back.
Right,
that's all it is. So a lot of people will put a brace or just delete it completely. But overall, like, the car is still fun. It still handles.
Yeah.
It still handles really good. My fiance loves driving the Skylines over the Supras, and it's a fun car to still drive. So I like it. Like, you know, it gets with the stock turbo, it boosts up really quick, and it's you'll see. It's
moves,
fun.
It
it's
moves.
Super fun. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. And if you want to throw a turbo kit and make some power out of it, 500 horsepower street car, rear wheel drive. It's perfect for that.
Yeah. RVs, baby.
Yeah.
RVs. So for anybody who's listening or watching, you know, and they want to come to your dealership and purchase one of these cars, what's the procedure? How do you walk them through the process?
Yeah. So the first thing they can go to is our website, jdmdre.com.
Okay.
A lot of people find us on Instagram. Most of our sales, almost all of our sales come from social media.
Okay.
So jdmdre_jdmdre on Instagram and Facebook. Process is you go to our inventory, you find a car that you like. The good thing is you deal with us directly. So as soon as you message, I'm the one talking to you guys.
Yeah.
So once you find the car you like, just let me know. We can go ahead and reserve it. We take a $2,000 deposit to reserve the car.
Okay.
That's if you're paying cash for it. If you want to finance, the application is on our website, also under the financing tab, so you can apply directly to the bank and you'll get an answer in the next day. So a lot of our cars, people don't even come, like honestly, like 80-90% of people don't come here. The cars get shipped out to different parts, to Long Island, that Baltic Blue is going there, and New Jersey and things like that. So what we do as far as the process, we'll take a lot of videos for you, like walk around videos of the exterior, interior, engine, underneath, driving. These are like 5-6 minute videos each. I'm pointing out every single imperfection. We're very transparent with the process, as if I'm buying a car overseas or something like that.
Right.
I put myself in your shoes. You're buying a car, you're not here, you're spending a lot of money. So we do a lot of videos for you so that you know what you're getting. If you want to fly in, we're less than an hour away from Orlando Airport, so you can fly in. We'll be more than happy. We have a lift here. You can inspect the car.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll send a lot of videos to you. We'll get the financing wrapped up if you're going that way, or if not, you can wire directly to us.
Yeah.
And we set up transportation for you. We have a transportation broker that'll get you a quote. We'll get the cars loaded up. We deal with everything. We don't want you dealing with the transporters, and because you might be at work. So we talk to the transportation company. We load it up. We send you pictures, videos, everything like that. So send you a nice little swag pack, so to speak, some gifts from us to you as a thank you. And once you get the car, you call us on and you let us know, and everyone loves the cars, you know, once they get it. You're super happy at that point.
Yeah. So now what happens if there's a car that somebody wants that's not here? Like, let's say if I wanted a different kind of Supra.
Yeah. So you can contact us directly. Same thing on a website or through Instagram. Mm-hmm. Just say, hey, man, I'm looking for this spec. It might be a certain color. People do that all day long.
Okay.
They'll contact us and say, I want a left-hand manual, or I want a right-hand Targa, which is kind of a hard one to find. Let me know. I can source any cars in Japan for you. So any JD car that you're looking for, or a left-hand Supra, let us know. We also buy Supras, left-hand drive cars. So that's a big thing for us. It's high demand, left-hand drive Supras, and it's also a harder thing for me to purchase because a lot of guys are holding on to them, the left-hand drives.
Right.
But if you want to get rid of your left-hand drive cars, please call me or DM me or send me an email. I'll be more than happy to fly out to buy the car from you. It's an easy transaction. We make it simple. You're not dealing with any scammers. You're dealing with me directly. And we'll come out and get the cars bought from you. So,
and does it have to be in any, you know, does it have to be in stock form, or can it be fully built?
We like stock cars.
Okay.
But we're not picky. We gotta take what we get, so to speak.
Right.
So whatever you have out there, you send it to us and say, hey, I have this car for sale. And then we go through all the pictures and videos, and we'll let you know if that's something that fits our inventory right now.
Right.
Or we save your contact, and maybe in a couple of months, or a customer who's looking for that car, we kind of match the two of you up. So that happens a lot, where I have a customer looking for a car and I have a seller has a specific car. And sometimes I've just passed the contact through. Like, I'm not even brokering the deal. I don't make any money.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it just to help the community, man. So a lot of times I've passed contacts from a guy who's selling a car that doesn't fit my inventory and a guy who wants to buy it, and I just pass it straight on to them and say, hey, take a look at this guy.
Damn.
Yeah. So
that's love. That's
yeah,
dope.
Man. Yeah,
that's
dope. For sure.
So now if you source a car from that you don't have here, right?
Yep.
You find it.
Yep.
How long does it take to get to the States and to my front door, basically?
So from Japan, it's from, let's say we source it. Let's say I start looking this week and we find a car at the auction for you.
Yeah.
And it's whatever Supra, your right-hand drive Targa. That's something people love. It's very rare. Right-hand drive Targa Supra. We find it this week for you. It's on the boat, let's say next week, right? So that's probably a 2-week period. And then it takes 3 weeks to actually get to Jacksonville. And the way that these cars are shipped, we don't do containers. It's a service called RORO. It means roll on, roll off.
That's roll actually on, roll
yeah,
off.
Yeah, RORO.
Okay.
So they get shipped. It's pretty much like a big cruise liner, dude. Like the mouth opens up and all the cars drive in to the, and then they drive off. So that's the way it's done. Yeah. And these they hold hundreds or thousands of cars. So the port for Florida is Jacksonville, which is about 2.5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
I posted a video on Instagram of taking people to the port, and so they can kind of see what it looks like a couple weeks ago.
Dope.
Yeah, yeah. So it takes about 3 weeks. So I would say if you're lucky, under 2 months, 6 weeks is like a good turnaround time. If we find the car quickly for you, it'll get to Jacksonville at that time. And then we need to get it and go through the inspection process and go through a DMV process, which takes another week or so for us to get the Florida title for you.
That's so pretty fast. Yeah. I would have thought it was like maybe 3 months.
No. It can take longer if we find a car. It takes longer to find a specific car you're looking for. But if it's something like, you know, a super that's more generic, you know, just a manual or an automatic or something like that, we can find it within a week.
Yeah.
And it'll be here pretty quickly for you. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Well, you guys have it. We got Dre with all the JDM cars. Make sure you guys check out his business as well. And if you guys are looking for any cars, any JDM, mostly Supras, right?
Yep.
Mostly Supras?
Yeah.
Make sure you hit him up. Can you give him your contact information?
Yep. It is jdmdre.com and _ jdmdre on Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much
for the hospitality.
I appreciate it.
So happy to be in Florida. I might be out here more often.
Yeah.
Maybe permanent. Who knows?
You need to move out here, man.
And I'll be hanging out here all the time, maybe. I don't know. But I appreciate you, man. Right, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
For those who are listening and watching, make sure you guys like, share, comment, and subscribe. Make sure you guys are listening on all streaming platforms. And I will catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.